I'm Brandi Cruz. Today on a special edition of Undivided, we're talking public safety. It was a key issue during last legislative session. So what is on the docket when the legislative session begins in 2024? There are some good bills that have been proposed and some very, very bad ones. Today's episode is brought to you by First Mark Insurance. Take the First Mark Challenge today. Let their experienced local team help you for free navigate the complex world of insurance. Take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. I'm Brandi Cruz. Welcome to Undivided and welcome to our week of shortened shows designed to get you ready for the upcoming legislative session, which will lead into a very, very important election year. Today, we want to talk about the issue of public safety. And there's a lot of unfinished business from the legislative session last year. So there's some good news and there's some bad news. The good news is because 2024 is such an important election year, I do not think that you're going to see Democrats entertain a lot of the crazier public safety proposals as they would in maybe an off election year where the consequences aren't so severe come November. That being said, I also worry that it could have the opposite effect of not making them pursue some of the public safety changes that really need to be done, you know, not wanting to do anything to sort of rock the boat. There are a couple exceptions where I see space for lawmakers to do something and pick back up on work that began last year. Let's start quickly with police pursuits. This was one of the key issues last legislative session, was this overwhelming bipartisan push to get lawmakers in Olympia to reconsider a law that they passed in 2021 that dramatically limited the ability of police to pursue even dangerous criminals. We have talked about some of the heartbreaking results of that. Young kids killed by individuals who fled from law enforcement, who could not be pursued. I think that common sense Democrats heard some of that last session because they did come out and they made some slight tweaks to the law to give police officers more power in certain instances to pursue criminals. And I think that's good, but it certainly didn't go far enough. So where does that leave us? Well, of course, there's an initiative that there is enough signatures for that would be going to the legislature that would restore reasonable police pursuit. So put the law back to how it was pre-2021. The legislature can decide, should they adopt that and do what the initiative says they should do, or should they send it to voters? I really do believe that there are going to be some Democrats who are going to prefer to adopt it because they know voters will pass it. And maybe it's better not to have it on the ballot in an important election year, an issue that doesn't really go in their favor. Maybe they just adopt it, save a little face. And so I have a small sliver of hope that that might be the direction that they go, or at least some Democrats will try to convince them of that, and that would be fine. The other issue that is kind of a leftover issue from last year that I'm really actually excited about this legislative session is the issue of sexually violent predators, SVPs. These are the worst of the worst sex offenders. They go on McNeil Island after their prison terms because people are so worried they're going to reoffend that they get put on an island. Great stuff. Love it. But because we have constitutional rights in this country, even if you're a violent sex predator, you do have an opportunity to petition for release from McNeil Island. But what we saw play out last year in communities like Enumclaw and Tenino is they were being blindsided by these SVPs who would wind up in these less secure community facilities, like glorified houses, you know, close to bus stops and parks, and they had no idea. I mean, you'll remember one of the clips we played of a community meeting in Enumclaw where parents lost it after it was suggested to them that, oh, never mind the state dropped a violent sex offender in your neighborhood. It's up to you to protect your kids from them.
The onus of keeping your kids safe is on you. You need to talk to your kids. You need to open a dialogue with your children. Keep them safe at the bus stop.
And then, of course, you had a similar situation in Tenino where parents were fighting against the placement of a sex offender. They ended up prevailing. They pushed back so hard on that thing. Parents like Sarah Fox, who we had on the show many times.
Although criminals do have a right to go somewhere after they serve their sentence, we have a right to know if these sexually violent predators are our neighbors.
So this is an issue about further regulating the release of these sexually violent predators that came up at the tail end of last legislative session. And in fairness, I don't think there was really enough time, given all the other things that were happening, to get something done on that issue. But thankfully, there is a bipartisan group of lawmakers who spent the off season, so to speak, getting stuff done. They visited McNeil Islands. They've been talking with department heads and stakeholders, and they have crafted a number of bills to improve this system. You've got Republican sponsors, you've got Democratic sponsors, which I think is great. Representative Travis Couture, who was in the thick of it last year trying to fight this fight with us, he's a Republican. He joined the show last week to talk with us about some of the bills that they're proposing, including improved notification for communities where one of these violent sex offenders is going to be housed.
So there's essentially three pieces, three SVP bills having to do with LRAs and public notice and everything else that we're pushing. And so myself and Rep. Levitt, we were at McNeil Island together, and we had a lot of different conversations about different things that we can do. And public notice came up as something that we have to get across the line. We have to be able to work with our communities and not hide what the government is doing from them. And we have to make sure that when we give that public notice, that they have all the information about how the system works. And as you recall, back in my district in Tenino, that caused a huge stir because there just wasn't any public notice. So that bill isn't pre-filed and dropped quite yet, but we're very close. We're basically tying the bow on top of that Christmas present.
So a lot of credit to Representative Travis Couture, Representative Mari Levitt, a Democrat, Representative Dan Griffey, a Republican, and others for working together over the summer, crafting bipartisan legislation that they have ready to go at the start of the legislative session. I'm hoping, since it has Democrat support, since the chair of the Public Safety Committee, Roger Goodman, has agreed to hear these bills, that we'll just be off to the races. That doesn't guarantee anything, but I think we're in much better position this year, given all the work and the craziness of last year, to put some common sense policies in place to protect communities and families from violent sex offenders and let them be informed. That's not asking a lot, just to let community members be informed. So I mentioned earlier that I don't expect a lot of movement on really insane public safety bills that would erode public safety like we've seen in the last few years. Now, that being said, you can always have current events that changes that. We just had the acquittal of three Tacoma police officers who were charged in the death of Manny Ellis. So they were acquitted of all charges. And of course, every time something like that happens, you have an activist class that, you know, gets riled up. They try to get lawmakers, you know, they feeling the pressure to do something. And that's what we saw in 2021, right? That was coming off 2020 and everything that happened around race and social justice. And so then you saw these terrible laws passed in Olympia. So I'm hoping that is not the result of the acquittal of those three officers in Tacoma. So don't expect anything crazy to gain traction. That doesn't mean that crazy things won't be proposed. And I want to alert you to one of those so you are fully aware of it heading into the session and you can help me push back against it. I kind of feel bad because it's another bill from Representative Tara Simmons, who we have a little history with on the show. So Tara Simmons, she is a former prisoner. She's a former prison inmate, and she turned her life around. Now she's a state representative. I think that's great. But 2 years ago, she proposed a bill ahead of the legislative session that would reduce the punishment for drive-by shooters who kill someone. And I pushed back against it pretty heavy. You guys did too. We were mailing people, calling people, and it was dead on arrival as soon as the session began. And recently, Tara Simmons brought that back up in a Facebook post we talked about on the show and said we were just angry white supremacists and insurrectionists, and she teased that she was going to drop another bill having to do with sentencing reform. Well, she did, and if it's even possible, it's worse than the drive-by shooter bill. I laugh so I don't cry, of course. So let me introduce you to House Bill 2001, which, my interpretation of it would basically mean that sentencing is not the end in criminal cases. That even the worst of the worst offenders are going to have opportunities at their whim to be resentenced by judges who may or may not be activists in robes. Let me read aspects of this to you because I really think this is another slap in the face for victims. I mean, if you can imagine that, you know, you were the victim or a loved one was the victim of a horrible crime, and then if this goes into effect, you never really know if the sentence that they were given is ultimately the sentence that's going to stay with them or not. So this says, an act relating to providing judicial discretion to modify sentences in the interests of justice. This act shall be known and may be cited as the Judicial Discretion Act. It says, the legislature finds that long-term incarceration disproportionately impacts poor communities and communities of color. The legislature further finds that an expansive body of research demonstrates that lengthy sentences can increase rather than reduce recidivism. Same arguments we always hear about trying to give criminals a slap on the wrist. The legislature further finds that the potential to reduce a sentence encourages incarcerated individuals to engage in good behavior and to take advantage of rehabilitative programming. The legislature further finds that because the cost of long-term incarceration is substantial and the state must use its resources responsibly, providing judges the opportunity to modify lengthy sentences is in the interests of justice, and it will result in significant cost savings to the state. When have Democrats ever cared about cost saving? The only time they conveniently care about their use of taxpayer funds and cost saving is when they want to push through something like this. That's absurd. Therefore, the legislature intends to authorize sentencing courts to review lengthy sentences upon a showing that a person's original sentence no longer serves the interests of justice. I'm going to keep reading. This is crazy stuff. Notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, any person under a term of partial or total confinement or subject to conditions of supervision by the department for a felony conviction may petition the sentencing court or the sentencing court's successor for a modification of sentence if the original sentence no longer serves the interests of justice and the person meets any of the following criteria. If the person is serving a sentence for a felony offense committed at 18 years of age or older, the person is eligible to petition after serving at least 10 years of their sentence. If the person is serving a sentence for a felony offense committed at 17 years of age or younger, the person is eligible to petition after serving at least 7 years of their sentence. Or if the petitioner does not meet the criteria under A or B, the person is eligible to petition with the consent of the prosecuting attorney. So this is like, you could get sentenced for a serious violent felony. You could be doing time in prison, you know, ran out of appeals, all of that, no basis to change your sentence. And then you could decide to petition the court and say, hey, I've been participating in these programs behind bars. I've been pretending to be a good person for 10 years. I want a petition to get out of jail, to get out of prison. And Representative Tara Simmons is saying that's in the interest of justice. You don't think that there's going to be some hardened felons who can play the game and walk the walk and do the programs and act all good and great behind bars and then say, hey, I'm ready to get out. No care or concern for how egregious their crime was. It's not about what they did. It's about who they've been in prison. So you're essentially taking out the entire element of punishment. That entire aspect of someone being held accountable for something that they did. It says of victims, because I was curious, like, well, are you going to allow victims an opportunity to have a say in this? It says the prosecuting attorney shall make reasonable efforts to notify victims and survivors of victims of any petition for modification of sentence filed pursuant to this section and the date of any hearing to consider the petition. The prosecuting attorney shall provide victims and survivors of victims access to available victim advocates and other related services. The court shall provide an opportunity for victims and survivors of victims of any crimes for which the petitioner has been convicted to present a statement personally or by representation at the hearing. So, okay, they can petition to have their sentence changed at any juncture, you know, as long as it's in line with the 10 years, 7 years, whatever it is, and, you know, original sentence be damned, they can get out on the whim of a judge. That's insane stuff when you really think about it. There's no finality. Under this, there would be no finality for victims. None. You could have a sentence and never know at what stage a judge might agree to let that person out. So that's crazy stuff. And my hope is, given the other political winds at play in 2024, that rational Democrats know this isn't something they should be touching with a 10-foot pole. All right. So that is what's happening on the public safety front. I got to say, other than that, there's a few bills here and there. You know, the sexually violent predators are pretty good ones, but not a lot so far on, not a lot that's significant so far on the public safety front. And then this one is just wild, absolutely wild. So this has been another truncated edition of Undivided as we prepare you for the legislative session and also allow you to enjoy time with your friends and family. Like I get to decide whether I allow you to enjoy time with your friends and family. Between holidays. So we'll be back with another edition of this tomorrow, and we'll be talking about an issue I am so passionate about, and that is transparency in government. It is an issue that's getting worse, and it is an issue that is really going to matter this year as not only the legislature debates critical issues, but as we have elected leaders currently in office who are running for higher office who have a poor, poor track record of transparency. So we'll see you back here, same time, same place, tomorrow. Today's episode was brought to you by First Mark Insurance. Take the First Mark Challenge today, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. They work for you. If you haven't signed up for Undivided already, remember you can support our show for just $5 a month at undividedpod.com.